Item number three, please.
Item three, from the Director of Audit's Office of the Comptroller, submitting the 2014 Countywide Audit Report Packets, consisting of the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, Single Audit Report, Employees Retirement System Annual Report of the Pension Board, General Mitchell International Airport Schedule of Passenger Facility Charges, Revenues, and Expenses, Milwaukee County Transit System Independent Public Accountants Report on Applying Agreed-Upon Procedures, Communication to Those Charged with Governance and Management Report, Audit Communications Letter to the Board of Supervisors, Audit Communications Letter to the Members of the Pension Audit Committee, and Audit Summary Observations. The item is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jerry Hare, Comptroller's Director of Audits. I have with me today John Knapel from Baker Tilly and Notch Mola from Coleman and Williams, and we're here today to present the what we call the annual countywide audits. It's a collection of reports. Those of you who are on Legistar, it probably looks long. When you stack it up, it's even more overwhelming. But hopefully you've had a chance to look at it, and you'll get a briefing today from external auditors, and they'll be available to answer any questions you have.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm John Knapel, partner with Baker Tilly, responsible for the services we provide to the county, and I will let Nash introduce himself when I turn the mic over. But we're happy to be here this morning to give an overall presentation and summary of our observations from the recently completed audit. There's a two-page document entitled Summary of Observations from the 2014 audit for our presentation. I'll run through that real quickly, but then gladly answer any questions that the committee members have. The document contains the audit service team that was responsible for all the services, both from the Baker Tilly perspective, the audit and senior managers responsible for the services, and also from Coleman and Williams. These are the key players, the key members of management on our side performing the audit. The audit results that we have for this year, when we plan our audit, we test and we determine our scopes for testing and reporting. We look at the overall risks associated with your financial reporting system and what's going on in the county, and we design our audit approaches and procedures accordingly. We have subcontracted with the Coleman and William firm to provide audit services relating to the compliance audit of the federal and state programs that the county's involved with, also to perform the work with the airport PFC reporting and the paratransit reports. The opinion that we have issued and that is contained in the comprehensive annual financial report for the county and the schedule of federal and state awards that's contained in the single audit report is an unmodified opinion. It means that your reports are fairly presented in accordance with the standards that you have to follow in preparing them. Also, are applied on a consistent basis. Means all the appropriate disclosures and required disclosures are contained in that document as well. Some other observations. Obviously, an audit of this magnitude does not occur without cooperation from management and the county personnel. Provided such cooperation, we certainly look forward to working with the county going forward in our relationship. I won't go through the individual list, but then the next section in this is a list of reports that are issued. It's identical to the list that was communicated to you when you received your packets. It has the comprehensive annual financial report, the single audit report, and the ERS reports, etc. The one report I'm going to just comment a little bit on is the 2014 communication to those charged with governance and management. That document contains all of the recommendations that come out of our audit relating to improvements that can be made. That document also reports that there were no material weaknesses in internal control that we identified during the course of our audit, which is exactly what you want to hear from us. The other thing is to note is that overall the number of comments this year was lower, is less than what has been presented in prior years, management did resolve a number of items that had been reported in past years, and as a result, there's just fewer comments that are rolling forward with that document. So there has been improvement in that area. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Nash, and he can talk about the single audit reports.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the committee. Thank you for this opportunity to appear before you. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank the Comptroller's Office and all the various county departments in enabling us to conduct our audit, and they provided adequate support for us to be able to conclude on our audits. For the single audit, we also issued an unmodified opinion on the report, on the schedule of expenditures of both federal and state awards, and on the county's compliance with the requirements as laid out by both the federal and state governments. Our audit did not disclose any material weaknesses with respect to the expenditures of federal and state awards, nor did they disclose any material weaknesses in internal controls over the compliance with the requirements of the programs. However, we did note two instances of non-compliance with two state programs, and those are reported on in the report itself on pages 69 through 72. In addition, there was a finding last year, and we followed up on that finding, and it has been satisfactorily cleared. Management corrective action plan that they implemented last year has been had been implemented, and we were able to confirm that. With that, I would open up to questions.
Okay. Supervisor Mayo.
Can you tell me the two state programs you were concerned about?
Yes, that would be Department of Health and Human Services. There's the mobile urgent treatment for foster families, and then again for the Department of Human Services at Disability Services, children's long-term support. In the first instance, we noted 3 out of 39 participants selected did not have a crisis plan, as documented in a participant's case file. This was subsequently been remedied, but in the meantime, we still had to report upon that. And at the children's long-term support, we noted 7 out of 60 caregivers selecting did not have documentation verifying background checks were performed. While it may or may not have been performed, we could not tell, but the documentation, we usually get a copy of the background check in the file, was not present. So our recommendation was for the agency to go back and do those.
Can you move your mic a little closer?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, are you the one dealing with the transit company, also the airport?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any long concerns with any of those programs?
No, we had no findings. On the PFC, there was an audit. We issued an unmodified opinion. At the MCTS, it's not an audit. It was an agreed-upon procedures, and we did not have any findings with respect to the procedures we performed.
You got no challenge with the new structure they have with MCTS.
Yes, but our procedures were over the buses themselves, and not over the auditing of the structure.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisor Mayo, overall, we do look at going concern issues relating to the county as an overall procedure. We don't necessarily look at the physical structural relationships of the facilities. Had something come to our attention, it would be noted in our reports, and nothing was.
Thank you. Any supervisors? Then, Mr. Smith.
First of all, I'd like to make a motion for receipt and place on file all of the audit reports. I do have a question regarding the audit It's titled Communication of Those Charged with Governance and Management on page 9. And I'll just read it. It says, during our testing of internal control procedures related to new hires, this is with regard to human resources, we noted that the county has established and implemented a standard new hire policy countywide. However, it was noted that certain departmental policies procedures have deviated from the county standard policy. But you don't indicate what those policies are.
We don't. Excuse me. We don't what? We don't.
You state, quote, certain departmental policies have deviated, but you don't define what they are.
Which policy? You're saying which policies were deviated from?
You're saying that, not me. I'm reading your language. I'm wondering what policies deviated from their standard procedures with regard to new hires.
My apologies. I guess I'm just not. I'm not clear on what's being asked.
Right. I was in the meeting on that. I think the senior manager was there. I don't think Mr. Knapel was there. But my memory is that we had at that time what we call an etcher form. It's an employee. It's a change form. Sorry.
Transaction change
form. Yes. And there's a lot of, I should say, maybe judgment that goes into how you code certain activities on that form. And there was a lack of consistency in terms of one division may call it a resignation, one may call it a termination. They're both technically correct, but termination often implies you were fired. I mean, it was little things like that that just collectively looked like there wasn't consistency in what's supposed to be a form that provides consistency. HR's response, I think, is on point for a number of reasons. One, they're moving away from the paper etcher, and two, they're tightening up how the documentation is used to support evidence of employee activity.
We have received complaints from employees, actually no longer employees, say with the housekeeping, that they are unable to get when they are out looking for new jobs. They're unable to get information from HR. And well, I don't know if this is related to that complaint.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, some of it may be related to what I think been consistent advice from attorneys and corporations across America that you don't want to get into a lot of nuance and detail. You just say these are the dates the person worked here. This is what they did when they were here. So I've seen varying degrees of compliance with that advice. I've seen people tell you the whole life story of an employee that used to work for them. And I've dealt with people who just give you a name, rank, and serial number. I think anybody looking at our forms need to be aware of what a term means. For example, the one I gave, termination doesn't mean you were fired. It means you're no longer working here. And I think the new PAF, or whatever they call it, I think that's the name of the form they're using now, provides a little more user-friendly, lay terminology, so you know more clearly what happened. I doubt you're ever going to get consistency across the government in terms of either name, rank, and serial number, or I'm going to give you the full candid description of this employee's work here.
Okay, so we're getting those codes straightened out as with responses.
Yeah, I think so. I think, Mr. Chairman, this system, it dates back quite a ways, and as we move toward not only cleaning up Ceridian and HR with the current generation, but into the next generation of enterprise systems, that'll be the focus. Consistency, clarity, across government lines.
And I know this is now the county executive's realm. Hopefully he's reviewing audits and taking appropriate steps with regard to his departments. The other question I had was with regard to Milwaukee County Transit System report. And on page 8, I have never seen this on an audit. Page 8, it states that under Wisconsin Public Access Law, the report is meant for use only by the intended recipient, and recipient may not copy, forward, or otherwise use it or disclose its contents to any other party. I've just made a motion for adoption to place and receive on file. This is going to be a public record. I have no idea why a notice like that is on our public audits. So could you explain why that's there?
This report is called an anonymous report. If not,
Under professional standards, while this report may be used by the public and is used by you for disclosure and other purposes. And the professional sense, this is what's called a limited use report. This was intended specifically based on the requirements from the FTA. So we were reporting this directly to the FTA. So while we do disclose it to you as a matter of record and you may use it, the intended use is for the FTA's purposes.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I'm impressed that you tripped on that language, because it's something that, you know, as a government auditor, we've been dealing with for over 30 years. It is the language of the profession. I think it's intended, perhaps, for in this example, you wouldn't want a person who's buying transit bonds to rely on this report in making a decision about whether or not to purchase those bonds, or the bank that may finance activity up there to rely on this report, because it really isn't a financial statement. It's more of a report on activity within the transit system. It's like a database report, but the profession uses certain language, I think, as a matter of risk management and liability. And then as a government auditor, what I just do is make it public. I mean, they're not going to limit the public's use of this report consistent with the intention of their opinion. I think you can rely on the data that's in this report, but you probably couldn't go get a bank loan or float bonds using it.
Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Hare. I mean, you have great trust with this board. I think right now the public is very sensitive about this. We have Robin Voss constantly trying to restrict open access, open records. I'm very opposed to that. I mean, the whole purpose of government is to provide oversight and public access, and I think these audits all weigh into our bond ratings, do they not?
They do.
So I suppose the auditors can try to limit their exposure, perhaps, but we all know that people are going to review these and rely on that information. Thank you. I won't press any further.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question, and you briefly spoken to agenda setting too, and it's comforting to know, as Supervisor Jurczyk alludes to, that any questions asked, you always have the answers, and you really follow through on all the reports, and I think the gentlemen up here are verifying that. My question always is, usually over the years, is the comfortability of the working relationship here now with two here, besides Baker Tilly, Coleman and Williams, of course. And they split up reports kind of here as we see. And, you know, I just saw the big five here that I'm getting, Mr. Knipple, right? Defer to Mr. Mula on one issue here. So I'm wondering just quickly on the process is, what are the pros and cons of splitting up? Okay, I mean, you know, checks and balances is very big on the board for obvious reasons. Okay, and you know, your involvement with working with them, how it's split up. Does Coleman Williams really know what Baker Tilly's doing? You know, and so I'm just wondering about the process and how that works. If you're satisfied, and then the last question there is, and I've asked this before and you've answered, but I'd like maybe a 30-second summary on that too, is the working relationship and the strengths of that, and the fact that, you know, over years, you don't want to get too comfortable, but I think management has changed. So just that process question, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, just to give you an overall feel for how we approach the audit, we have multiple meetings. We begin the audit process with a joint meeting of collectively of our firm, the Coleman and Williams firm, and also management from the county. During the entire course of the audit, collectively we again are meeting usually every other week, and we are talking through issues. We're giving everybody updates as to what we're working on, where things stand as far as the audit, what problems we may be encountering during the course of the audit, and how they may be resolved either by us or by management. It really is a partnership. We are in communication with one another regarding what each one's responsibilities are, and we tweak it a little bit every year after consulting with each other to determine what's the best way to approach the audit and what's going to what's going to do give us the best bang for the time that we're spending. And
well, if I can just add to that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'll be real direct and blunt about how we ended up in this situation. 20 years ago, when we did an audit of DB participation in Milwaukee County government, the participation for professional services contracts was less than 1%. We were at 17%. Over the years, we built up to 35%. We do that because it works at every level. It gives us quality, price, product, and social policy. So it's worked from that perspective. One thing that I think Supervisor Schmidt is concerned about, and I do share that concern, is the whole idea of the fresh look. We used to have seven or eight firms bidding for this job. Now I'm lucky to get two. And I mean lucky because I only need one good one. And fortunately, over the years, we've always had one good one. The firm we use, the firms we use do good work. They do it at a reasonable price, and they give us the product that we need. There is some rotation at the reviewing partner level. They have had turnover at the management level. They've also had some consistency. You've seen these two gentlemen at the table before, and you will again for the next few years at least. And I don't think that's a bad thing. There would have been a time I would have argued we need fresh look, but I'd rather have good proposals now because the market just doesn't support changing every 3 or 5 years.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? We have a motion to receive and place on file. Madam Coordinator, would you please call the roll?
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Mayo?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Jurczyk?
Aye.
Weddle?
Aye.
Moore Omokunde?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
8 ayes, 0 noes. The motion that item number 3 be recommended to be received and placed on file prevails.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.